Welcome to the Perfectly Seen Show, episode 178. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Maybe not always, but
yeah, but he's back.
Alive.
Tony is back, and Fozzie as well.
Hello.
And unfortunately, Jeff is he is trying to thaw out his extremities after a week of walking around.
Jeff is rethinking his career very.
Yeah.
I got this great job. It's awesome. And now he's like, oh my God, I hate everything.
Yeah, it's awesome during the summer, like when he could just walk around. Right. It's not so awesome when he hits those Illinois winters and.
Right. don't worry, it'll start warming up around the end of March.
Only 3 more months to go. And he hasn't had a day off since Thanksgiving, so it's nonstop.
It's good for him. Builds,
yeah.
It's character.
Yeah. Like Jeff needed more.
Jeff needs lots and lots of character.
We played some games, not a whole lot.
I haven't been on the show since I got my Xbox One.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
This is our last show before Game of the Year stuff starts, so.
Oh my God, I came back just in time.
Or maybe you came back too early. I don't know. I don't think this year's Game of the Year awards are going to be.
They'll be very contentious.
Maybe a little bit. I think we come to a consensus probably pretty easily, though. I think there's probably only a handful of games that are actually in the running for our overall as a group. So. It depends if Jeff comes to the show with like logic on his side, realizing that he can't win in certain arguments.
No.
Yeah.
I think logic don't exactly go hand in hand at times.
True. So let's start out with you, Tony. You haven't been on since
I died.
Yeah, since you died and have now been risen. Right. One of the zombies in Dead Rising 3.
Right.
Tell us about your Xbox One.
So, first of all, so I got sick like the day after we recorded a show, like 3 weeks ago. Like 2 days later was the day that the Xbox One released. And I got it sent to work because, you know, I'm trying to take off work. Game releases.
Right.
Well, I got it sent to work. I ended up having to call in sick. So my Xbox One ended up at work and I ended up at home. Thankfully a nice person at work was able to bring it to me. I wasn't actually able to play it for about 2 weeks. The only things I did with it were like Netflix and, Amazon Instant Video. Cause I literally like couldn't get out of bed to like, do anything with the silly thing. It took me 4 days to hook it up. But once I finally got it working, I like it, and then there are things about it that annoy me a little bit. I really like the fact that I can like turn it on with my voice and go through all the menus without having to like move or find my controller. I find that stuff doesn't work if there's any kind of ambient noise, though. So, like, if my wife is, like, listening to music, or, of course, I have, you know, a 3-year-old. If he's in the room, voice controls are pretty much off the table.
Yeah, I found that out with my 1-year-old. If she's in there, forget using the voice controls to change the channel or do
right.
anything.
You can get it. I can get it to turn on, but that's pretty much it. Like surfing the menus, like the moment I say like Xbox on, my son's like, Daddy, why did you say Xbox is on? And then he starts just like talking, Xbox, go to Netflix. He's like, Daddy, are you sure you want to watch Netflix? Should we go to Amazon Instant Video? What is Amazon Instant Video? And it's just, it makes it so hard to like surf through the menus and like find stuff, and it doesn't recognize any of your commands once he starts talking. So just, I wish it would recognize me and not other stuff. I wish it could weed it out.
But yeah, and maybe over time, like, it'll get smarter in that regard, but right now it's like, it's picking up everything, and it's like, who is talking to me? What are you doing?
Right. It is kind of cool, some of the stuff, like, it signs you in when it sees that you're in the room. Is really cool. Like, I turn on my Xbox from, like, across the room, and it doesn't see me, and then I kind of look at the screen, and then it just signs, it's like, oh, Napoleon 1066, you're here. That's really cool.
My wife finds that creepy.
Yeah, my wife finds it creepy too, but.
She has a profile, and actually I've made profiles for my two oldest kids, and the Xbox will recognize them when they come in and sit down. Just automatically sign them in. Which is also pretty cool, because I'm pretty sure that if you, like, pass the controller, like, it knows who is using it. Yeah. So it's, which is pretty cool. It's kind of nonsensical, but it's cool.
Have you accidentally activated the motion controls ever?
No, not yet.
So you can, like, it does have, like, the original connected, like, the controls where you can, like, point at the screen and make stuff happen.
Like, so you can wave at it, and it'll boot up that, and...
So of course I was really sick, and there was this one time that I was coughing, and I had, like, my hand in the air, and I was watching a movie. And of course it ends up, like, fast forwarding. I'm like, what the hell is happening?
No, stop.
Going on? So I kind of wish you could deactivate those. A little annoying there. But I mean, in optimal conditions, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like being able to switch what you're doing using only your voice, and like I really, really like that, but it's just finding those optimal conditions is difficult in the real world.
Yeah, it's a little rough at times, but when it works really well.
Yes. I just wish I had more games to play. That's my big thing.
What do you have to play at this point?
Well, right now I have NBA 2K14 and Battlefield 4. I haven't actually played Battlefield 4
because
I'm waiting for the mega patch, which is either coming out either tomorrow or Monday.
Great. So, we're going on nearly a month since it launched on next-gen consoles.
Right. It's been a while. And apparently the patch on the Xbox One is bigger than the patch on the PS4.
What?
Like they split the PS4 patch is in two parts, and on the Xbox One they connected them together, so it looks like the Xbox One version will be fixed further once the patch launches than the PS4 version is. Which is interesting to me. But
I'd just like it to work so I could actually play it.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Like, I just read nothing but horror stories, like, people's save games being deleted and, like, losing their data, that kind of stuff. I just, it makes me not want to play until it's all fixed.
Yep.
So my copy's just been sitting there. But NBA 2K14 is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I started playing the, what is it, My Career, where you create your own player and move through. There's actually a story to it now. You have an agent who's, like, cooking you up and guiding you through all the rookie showcase stuff. But your player also has, like, a rival whose career parallels yours. So you, like, come up and, like, face down with each other, and you have, like, confrontations, like, in the locker room and, like, in the hallway outside before the game starts, that kind of thing.
You're on the same team, though?
No, he's a opponent player.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cool new dynamic. Add a little bit of color, because the my career mode before was always sort of bland. Like all the storytelling came from, like, the actual play of the game. There was nothing outside of that, and this really colors that other stuff and, like, fills it out in a way that hadn't happened before. I'm interested to see how deep it gets, though. Like, how long the story runs, and, like, does it matter when you make the playoffs, and what kind of stuff happens. So, we'll see how filled out it is, but it's pretty cool so far.
It sounds like something different, at least, for a sports game.
Right.
It kind of approach things that way.
Oh, also with the Kinect, you can, like, call plays, which is cool. I always play as the point guard, so you can, like, call out, like, pick and roll for whomever. And you can actually say the player's name, and the right player will come and set the pick. Or post up LeBron James, and LeBron James will post up.
And it actually works.
It does.
Well.
It works.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I've always found, like, the play calling in NBA 2K14 to be really difficult to do. Like, I would always find, like, a standby play, and that would be the only play I would ever actually run.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the stuff would be, like, dynamic. The ball gets tossed around, and this happens to happen. But this actually makes play calling a reasonable option. Like, you can decide to do things, and, like, you can call it an isolation play for a particular player, or pick and roll, or a post up, and have that happen in a more realistic way. It's really cool.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. You had Madden on PS4, so.
Yeah, so I didn't try out any of the voice commands with that. Although I hear you can do that with the pretty shitty headset that they have that comes with it, so.
Great.
I didn't try that, though. That game's okay. I did play that. I mean, it's basically Madden 25, but with better graphics.
Great, and no one on the sideline?
Yeah, it's really weird. It just looks so weird, like, that you don't have, like, those huge crews and everything on the sideline. Especially when everything else looks so good, and the presentation is so well done.
Right.
Except for the announcing, which is exactly the same. So I don't understand. Like, they said there's dynamic announcing, and I played through, like, half a year of season mode, and I didn't see any. Like, I was still getting the same commentary where it's like, as a rookie quarterback, getting the first down is really important, so that was a good play for him. And, like, except it's third down, and I got 8 first downs. Like, we're now in the third quarter.
Right. Oh, well.
Yep. I'm sure that'll improve over time, though, so. So just NBA?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't see any game out there that streams, okay, this is the next-gen title you
Zoo
have
Tycoon!
Zoo Tycoon, I am kind of excited for, but it's on my Christmas list, so I can't play it until Christmas.
Yeah, and if, I think Rise is actually pretty fun.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yes, it's repetitive, but the story's actually pretty decent for what it is, and it's definitely a very pretty game. I think everyone said that, but I actually found the combat to be enjoyable. Lots of people have made issue of the QuickTime events in the game, which you can trigger them anytime there's an execution, which after you get somebody down enough, you can do one of them. And yes, failing them doesn't have an impact, but the reality is you've already beaten this guy to the point of death.
Right.
So he was going to die anyway. You fucking up on the execution, and there is consequence to messing up on the execution. It just doesn't. There's no visual consequence. Messing up on the button presses will, like, result in you getting less experience or dropping your multiplier.
Oh no!
Right, but I mean, like, that's how you kind of upgrade your character. So
right. You
want to keep that as high as possible for as long as possible, and so there definitely is reason to do them well. And if you do mess up, there is consequence in some way. Yes, it's still very, you know, it still looks very pretty, and even if you fuck up, that animation's going to play. Some people have said that there's, like, you're doing the same execution animations over and over again. You're not. It really, it's contextual to what you're doing. Like, if you were near a ledge, the execution animation isn't, like, this, the same normal one you're always getting. It's, you know, Marius is going to kick him over the edge. That's how, like, that execution works. Like, it depends on where you are. If you're close to a wall, he might smash his head into it. Or if you're near something that's spiked, he might kick him into it. Like, it's very contextual to where you are on the field of battle. And then there's, like, these weird moments where you kind of control, like, a whole, I guess it's not a legion, but, like a platoon of troops where they're kind of all working in unison. Mm. I mean, that's kind of different for a game like this where it's normally very solo. And it's kind of breaks up the, that combat. So I like it. It was fun. I played through it twice.
Doesn't sound worth $60.
I mean, if you can get it cheaper, definitely. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the single player, which is short. Like, it's 4 hours tops. But I played, you know, about 6 to 7 hours of the multiplayer and found that to be quite fun. It's co-op multiplayer where you're kind of fighting against these waves and with objectives to do. So it's kind of, I thought that was kind of cool. It's better than either of the big launch titles on the PS4, in my opinion. But
great,
Fozzie, what have you been playing?
Hello. I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4 and Peggle 2. What should I talk about first here?
Let's talk Peggle 2 first. It's the one brand new game.
It is the new hotness. It is Peggle, so yep. Not much has changed. There's new masters, so that's kind of like the new thing, is that there's new superpowers, which, I don't know, like, I haven't played enough, so I haven't gotten used to them. I didn't like the first couple besides the unicorn, but, like, there's one guy who copies, like, line for line, the Big Lebowski.
Oh, it's the bowler
rock guy.
The bowler troll, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that special power at all. It didn't appeal to me. There's a couple of cool ones though, like the person that freezes like all the pegs and then they like bounce off each other. That's probably one of my favorite ones right now. And then
yeah,
also the lightning guy too.
Yeah, that's as far as I got was the lightning guy. I found the freeze guy, like, that power takes some getting used to, because it was definitely something different. It was like, oh, what's going on?
Because you need some timing with it, and you kind of need to really like time or plan where you want to hit. Because if you do it right though, I mean, you can get a lot of points.
Yep.
The thing that I think people are not understanding about it too is that when you hit like the solid bricks, it actually hits three of them at a time.
Yeah, well, even the regular round pegs, if they're connected in any way, it'll trigger a three strike.
I see. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, I feel like that one is probably going to be probably the one that people use a lot. It really just depends on the level. But I've tried some of the trials. Some of them are really fucking easy, like especially the ones that they give you midway playing each master.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty. Like, I mean, I don't think they're meant to hold you up. It's just meant to kind of be a palate cleanser from clearing all the pegs.
It is a good amount of difficulty. Again, I've gone to the electricity guy. I haven't gone further, but it's definitely gotten more difficult. I've had to replay a couple of the levels, so it's not like they've dumbed it down for a more, I mean, it might be a little bit easier, I couldn't tell you, but there's still a lot to do in the game. For $12, it's kind of like a no-brainer to get. I haven't really tried the multiplayer. I tried playing with Ryan one time, I tried playing with you one time, but it was just both just bad timing. But I guess you can play with four people now, so that's really cool. As far as for doing like a little Peggle party. Yeah, but I mean, it's more Peggle. So if you like the first ones, you'll really like this one. If you didn't like the first ones, there might not be much for you.
Yeah, PopCap really just made another Peggle game.
They knew what people like, and again, there wasn't anything too out there. I think they added some new things, like now there's some bricks that take two.
Oh yeah, yeah, the armored bricks, yeah.
Yeah, the armored ones. Kind of like Candy Crush a little bit. The nice thing is that now it's not very free to play either. Like, there's not like really any like microtransactions or anything.
Yeah,
there's
nothing like that in the game at all.
Oh. Hopefully there's a shop, so, because I do miss like the older masters. And the weird thing is that they show them like all the time. Like, they're making references or they're in the background. So it's like you're showing off all the guys that that were in the other ones, but they're not really. I'm assuming that there's going to be like a Peggle like DLC that includes the Masters plus like maybe an expansion. So hopefully we'll see that, you know, next few months.
Yeah, I think as far as content goes, that there might be more levels than in the original. But there's less masters. In the original, each master had five levels to themselves.
Okay.
And in this, each master has 10 levels, and then 10
challenges. But you know, with the other one, you had challenges, which I think added a lot of levels too. And again, these trials, I have not done a full set of trials, so I don't know how good they are.
Some of them are really, I got all the way through Bjorn's challenge up to the last one, which I found absolutely impossible. Because
really?
It's these, there's like five pegs, and you might have five shots, and you have to clear them all, but they are moving at like warp speed.
Oh.
I'm like trying to hit them, and it's like finding the right timing on it. It's like pure luck. And I'm sure somebody will figure out how to do it, but, some of the other ones are like, the standard challenges, like clear 30 pegs, clear 45 pegs.
Right.
Then there's other ones where it's like get five style shots.
Right.
So you have like a full allotment of balls, but it's like the objective is to get five style shots. It's not clear all the pegs off. It's just figure out how to get five style shots out of this. So.
Yeah, I like that in the story mode or whatever you want to call it, the campaign, that there are additional things to do and they're not always just like. Most of the time, there's always one that's always clear all the.
Yeah, that's always. But then there's
that's always a guaranteed. There's also get an ace score.
Yeah,
I think
the ace score.
The other one.
Yep,
and then there's one like random.
Yeah, it's like either get like 50,000 points on one shot, or get like two super long shots in a match, or activate the power a certain number of times, or don't use the powers at all.
Right.
So there's some cool stuff there.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely that replay value right there. Again, with the multiplayer, it is a ton of fun, too. It's pretty simple, so even your less gamey friends can kind of get into it, and it's pretty easy to pick up. Literally one button, and if they like Plinko and Price is Right, they'll like this game. So, yeah. Again, it's Peggle, so there's not much more to talk about there. As far as, did you have anything else to say?
Yeah, I mean, just so it takes some liberal use of the clip functionality of the Xbox.
Oh, yeah,
one.
You're right.
Like, it
yeah.
is always recording clips. Like, and
the
problem is that the clips they're recording are kind of garbage, because if they had included the entire shot, it would be great, but it's like, so it's like, oh, gamer clip recorded, and go in, you watch it, and it's like the end of this awesome, like super slide. It's like, okay, so you didn't get me like lining up the shot and then taking the shot and getting the super slide. You just got me finishing up the super slide and getting like the end of the points. Well, that's
really
kind of pointless. Like, it's like, I wish, because a shot in Peggle doesn't last more than like 30 seconds, so just record 30 seconds. Like, record from the beginning of the shot to the end of the shot. And it's these weird, like, the way PopCap has enabled it, it's this weird, like, recording functionality. It's like, oh, we hit X amount of points or got X amount of style points, so now we gotta record it, and
it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like one every two games I have a game clip recorded. And like you were saying, I was watching the Giant Bomb Quick Look when they played, and they were showing it off. I'm like, so, see, this is what I don't get. Like, I kind of want to get inside, like, the minds of game developers, but someone approved this. Someone said this was a good idea. Someone said, oh, yeah, they only want to see the last 5 seconds of the shot. They don't want to see everything else. They just want to see the last 5 seconds.
Like, when I get 150,000 points on one shot, yeah. Like, that's a great shot. Don't show me, like, right. When I'm getting points, like, 140,000.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was just, like, game clips where, like, you know, kind of like the Madden system where maybe, like after you've played a game of Madden, you can go and see, like, the awesome clips that you did and you can record them. Maybe something like that, like a post-game report. Where you can, like, see, like, you know, the shots that were over 50,000 and be like, oh, yeah, I want to save that one. Something like that.
Yeah.
Or just, like, automatically save anything that's over, like, 100,000 instead of, like, 50,000, which it seems to be. Because, again, like you're saying, I have, like, 20 clips that are 5 seconds long. I'd rather have 5 clips that were 20 seconds
long. Well, and it seems like any time you completely clear a level of pegs, like, it automatically saves,
yeah,
like,
just
it going into the bucket, and it's like, okay, well, like, maybe I was being very deliberate about it and was just clearing those pegs one at a time, so the last shot was just one peg. Like, that's nothing special. You don't need to save it.
Oh, exactly. So, I mean, it's like,
fortunately, I think that might be something that could be patched. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I think that'll get fixed.
They'll probably patch that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's really cool, and I'd love to be able to be like, look at these awesome shots I did, but right now, it's like everything that's saved is garbage, and it's like, I just delete them all from my upload area.
Yeah, no. That's probably my main gripe with it at the moment.
It's fun, though. It's a fun,
yeah.
Fun game. And, like, it's colorful and happy.
Colorful, and I feel like the masters all have like a nice, cool personality.
Yeah,
I like watching like their facial reactions, like to when I have like a great shot, or it's just yeah, you're right. It's just like
Bjorn, the universe looks like he's like a mental patient sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you gonna say, Tony?
I was just looking at NBA. 2K14 does the same thing with the clips when you make a nice play.
Right.
Words. It does the same thing. It records it too late.
Yes.
So, like, I was making, like, awesome passes for dunks for the other player, and all you see is the ball flying in, the player grabbing it and dunking.
Right.
So it's not, like, and that's where, like, it should be at the beginning of that play, like.
Right. You completely miss the play. You don't
yeah.
see the rest of it. It's great.
And that's weird because, like, Zoo Tycoon, it's kind of have that same problem, but their clips are like 45 seconds long.
Yeah, so at least it's stretched out a little bit, and then
yeah, exactly.
And then you can go into you know the upload studio and edit it how you want. When that stuff's actually really easy to use. I mean, I've only gone through and edited one of the clips of Rise that I have, but it's actually really easy to go through and, like, you know, crop it here and cut it there and kind of make it the length you want and to present it exactly how you want, which is nice. Yeah. It's just I wish that the clips that the system was recording, which it, that's the developer's fault, because I'm not saying to record it. It's the developer saying to record it, and they're giving you, like, these weird clip shots.
Just, yeah, it's just, like, it's really stupid. It's not fun. I don't think there's anyone in the world that has said, yeah, this is a great idea or a great feature. It is a good feature, but it definitely needs to be improved on. And, like, I don't know, again, like, I don't know who was in charge of that or, like, if he was surrounded by yes men or something, but,
right.
Like, who decided it? Just, like, hey, here's the last 5 seconds of the shot, which usually is, like, kind of the anticlimactic part of it. It's kind of, like, the ball slowing down or the ball's, like, falling into this, like, the hole.
Yeah.
But the best parts are, like, when you shoot it and then, like, it bounces off three or four things to, like, get that, like, awesome chain going. So it really boggles my mind. Like, it's just one of those, like, things where it's, like, well, why? Who said, yes, this is a good idea? I don't know. For me, it's just... It's crazy.
Yeah, I think if they can get that fixed, though, like, that could be something that's really cool. Although, who knows how well we're going to be able to use any of it with, you know, the whole new YouTube rules and everything, so.
Have you used Kinect features with it? Like, it has Kinect capabilities.
With Peggle?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think at one point it said I could use my voice to control it.
I don't
want to do that. That's weird.
Pretty scary because, like, if you say, like, shoot ball or something, it'll shoot for you. So what if you're playing someone and you're playing local co-op?
they can totally troll you.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. Especially since it's like Tony said, like, it doesn't distinguish between who is talking. So it's like, yeah, if you are playing local co-op, that could be some great moments right there.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe they disable, like, Kinect controls for local co-op, but again, just, yeah, a couple little things here and there that I was like, eh, you know, I'll let it slide. But yeah, all in all, good game. I'm sure I'm going to put some serious hours into it, and I'm sure I'll get my money's worth. But moving on to AC4, really liking it. Really liking it. I think I was only an hour in last week. This week I've definitely put some more time into it, and now I'm really hooked. Like, just upgrading the ship, you know, all the cool ship battles, it's great. You can watch, like, you can watch other ships battle each other, because, you know, there's different factions, there's, like, England.
You can pick off the stragglers, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. I just, like, watch it, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, there we go. I'll take that frigate. Story so far is pretty good. I'm liking Edward Kenway. He's a great main character. Unlike Connor, who I thought, again, was super boring. I feel like as far as the assassinations, it does feel a lot like 3 and, like, just, like, hiding and stuff. But I feel like it's a lot more smoother, like, it just flows better. With 3, it was a little bit tougher for me to get, like, places, but with this one, I feel like I can actually be an assassin and kind of really just lurk around the shrubbery and stuff and try and get my kills like that. Let's see.
I think it really is the best Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, it really takes the best parts of the 3rd and just really just focuses on it. It made a whole game around it.
Yeah.
It's really just fun, just, like, sailing around on your ship and kind of just, like, looking for things to do. So, yeah, right now I'm having a really good time with it. I'm hoping I can get further in so I can kind of see where it'll lie in my game of the year category, like that area. Right now, it's probably going to be in my top 10 easily, but I could see it creeping up into the top 5. once we start like the nominations and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm having a really good time.
Yeah, it's definitely a Game of the Year candidate, in my opinion.
I do hate, and I've ever since like the second one, I think I've hated like the outside world. Like just stick me with hard stuff.
Right.
You know, I don't care anymore. Like, it's almost like they're just doing it in spite of it. It's like we really need to like they're just like they're too prideful about it. They don't want to just scrap it, so they're just like we're just going to keep, you know, forcing you to play these parts, because I never step out of the Animus unless it forces me to. It's just, it's not fun, and it kind of like takes away from the experience. So
there is, like, there's real world stuff in AC4.
Yes.
Not much.
And every time it comes up, I'm like, oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Let me go back to being a pirate.
Yeah, that's like...
Cause I mean, slightly talked about this before the show, but I've gone back to play AC3 simply because, like, I kind of felt I needed to play it, even though Fozzie said don't. And, the reason I wanted to was because of that outside the world stuff, though. Like, I enjoy the Desmond storyline, so.
And, like, it wraps up well, and it does kind of leave it at a cliffhanger for the third, so obviously they're going to bring it back for the fourth, but it's just, it is a weird concept. Like, I don't know. I just feel that it should just be wrapped up, and just, like, but again, like, that is Assassin's Creed. It is about this Templar assassins type thing and, like, the struggle between the two, but...
Just kind of weird because the Vita game had none of that.
Like, oh, really?
There was no outside the world, like, in the real world stuff. Like, at the beginning of the game, it kind of mentions that you are playing a entertainment disc manufactured by Abstergo.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
It. Like, that's all you get. Like, the rest of the game is, you know, in New Orleans or the Bayou or, like, a Caribbean island or whatever. It never leaves, you know, the in-game portion of it. You never go into, like, a real-world
exactly.
section.
So,
I don't
know. I mean, it's just, I feel you can take that out, you can scrap it, and even if, like, the story wouldn't make any sense, I think a lot of people would be all right with it. You know, I mean, yeah, there'd be a few people that might be upset. Maybe.
So if I start Assassin's Creed 4, will it spoil the ending of 3?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, how far are you into 3? How many hours have you put in?
Let's see, I am
Oh, God, you're not very far, are you?
I'm on sequence 5, 6.
What just happened?
So let's talk about Assassin's Creed 3 for a little bit.
Yeah, you go for that.
I really, really like the beginning of that game, the first three sequences where you're playing as Haytham.
Yeah.
That game's awesome. And then it takes this nasty shift. Nasty, nasty shift. Like, I'm at that point, three sequences in, you're good 3 to 5 hours into that game.
Sure.
Then sequence 4 starts, and you are playing as, I can't pronounce his Indian name, so I'm going to call him Connor. You start playing as Connor as a kid.
Yeah.
And then it takes you through this, like, and I think I might still be in it. It's like a 6-hour tutorial.
Yep.
Where it's like teaching you how to play Assassin's Creed, and it's like, why are you doing this?
I was just playing Assassin's Creed before. Didn't you see me stabbing
right.
the people?
Right, and that's not to say that those, you know, when you're playing as Haytham, that it's not kind of introducing stuff to you, but it's doing it in a natural way, and it feels like it's not treating me like I'm an idiot. And then like there's, you know, kind of the reveal of who Haytham is, what he is, and you get some more Desmond stuff, which I found cool. And then you jump back in and you're playing as Connor as this kid, and it's all of a sudden it's really, really fucking stupid. And like, it's like, oh, and now we're going to show you these like tunnels, and you have to now learn how to rip off posters on a wall again. And oh, here, we're going to teach you how to counter again. And I said, why? Like, who thought this was a good design system? Like, why would you totally stunt the game like that?
I think this game had, like, 12 lead designers. I think that was the problem. It's definitely built like a game where they didn't really realize where they were going.
It's like, and it's very, yeah, I mean that's, I think you might be right there, Tony, because it's, like, the Hathem stuff seems very focused.
Right.
And then the Connor stuff is, like, scattershot. It's all over the place. Like, we're going to teach you how to hunt and how to free run in the trees and
how. By the way, you'll never have to hunt again.
It's,
so congratulations on learning how to hunt.
It just introduces stuff.
I never hunted. I never set traps once they told me to.
Right, outside of that mission where you have to, right?
Yeah, it's just, that's the thing is that I've been playing a lot of the side missions in AC4 and I play a lot of side missions in all the other ones except 3. 3 just like, I just felt like, oh man, it's so bad, I just have to push for the story. And that was it. And you have, what is there, like 11 or 12 sequences, so.
Yeah, there's 12, yeah.
And the later sequences seem to be a little bit longer, so I'd say you're probably like 35-40% done.
It's like, the sad thing is, the setting is so good, and.
Yeah, it's a cool area.
It's fun, it's like, Sam Adams is taking me around Boston.
Right.
Like, that's cool. But it's like, what I'm doing is so dumb. It's like...
Yeah, and again, like I said, like, it's just, it's very boring, and there's not great, like, character development there. It's just, it's a lot of people that I should care about, because it's like, these are like the founding fathers of America. Like, this is like, you know, history 101, and yet, it's just, to me, nothing feels great because maybe they all think of Connor as like an inferior, so like you don't get that same feeling you had like when you had like Ezio and like Leonardo da Vinci. Like those two characters were great together, but you don't feel that same like feeling with Connor and like the other ones.
What's it like? I think Ezio from the get-go was very likable. Like you could associate with him, and you could kind of see where he was coming from and what his motivations were, and
right,
like and he was a fun character.
Connor sucks.
Yeah, Connor's not like Hathem was great. Like I'm like this dude is badass.
Yeah, he's like, badass.
I wanted
he's very, like,
to I wanted yeah. to do the missions as him, and like this right. is fun. Like he, all right, and maybe he's not an assassin, but it's like. He was, like, you could see the lineage from Ezio to Hathem. Like, there was definitely, like, they just made, like, the American version of Ezio with him. And then they give you Connor, and it's like, he's dull. He's whiny. He's not fun. Like.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, that's kind of why I was trying to, like, steer you away. Honestly, you can watch the cutscenes. I know you're pretty far in at this point. That's kind of how I felt too. But you can watch the cutscenes and probably get just as much enjoyment out of it. And save yourself about 10 more hours. Because, seriously, do you have Assassin's Creed 4 right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Oh my god.
It's like 10 it times just, the game. It's
yeah. You'll play for like an hour and you'll be like, it's almost good though to play Assassin's Creed 3 because it's almost like, You forget.
You'll appreciate
how great...
4 and more.
Yeah, exactly. And you almost forget how great the series can be. And that's a great thing about Assassin's Creed 4 is that everyone thought that this was like kind of going to be the turn of Assassin's Creed being like Call of Duty where they just manufacture it every year. It's going to be shit. There's no creativity to it. But really, they knocked it out of the park with AC4. Like, it was just... I think those lowered expectations plus how bad AC3 was is what it's like it brought Assassin's Creed back as one of the top franchises this generation because it is just, it is the good old Assassin's Creed that you've come to love. So yeah, maybe you should play 3 and then once you get done with it, go right to 4 because You're going to be so happy.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to like blow through it as quick as possible so that I could play some of four at least before we talk Game of the Year, because from what you guys are saying, it's going to be in conversation for at least our top 10. So.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, again, I'll probably make a push to top five. I don't know if Hefe's played it. He probably hasn't.
And he hates Assassin's Creed. Like,
does. And I think it's because he couldn't get into two, which is really weird. Like, I don't know. I like assassinations. I like killing people secretly. It's awesome. I really don't see how you can hate it, but, I mean, to each his own, right? So, but yeah, I think it should definitely be in the top 10, top 5. No question.
Alright, I will try and give it a play. Might try and force myself through a little bit more Assassin's Creed 3, but if it doesn't get any better.
Oh yeah, man, you will. Play a little bit more, and then, cutscene time.
Yeah, so I think that's it for what we've been playing. Pretty sure that might be about it. I haven't turned my PS4 on in like 2 weeks now.
Oh boy, that's scary.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a $400 paperweight. And I mean, I don't mean to like badmouth the PS4. Like, if you only have one, there are great games like Assassin's Creed 4 on it, or at some point Battlefield will probably work. And but yeah, as I bought it because I like Sony exclusives and was not impressed by the Sony exclusives I played, so. I did finish Super Mario 3D World, though.
Yay.
It is yay. That game is just pure joy. I told my wife when it showed up from Amazon that it is fun in a box. And that is exactly what that game is. Like, it's just so much fun to play. And the level design is so good. There are these challenge levels where you have like 10 seconds to do to get a star. And this one in the World 8, it's these 10 different challenges, and you're in the cat suit, and you are trying to maneuver these different obstacles, and it's just so brilliant, so much fun. And I'm not sure if Jeff has beaten it yet, because he was having some trouble getting enough stars, but everything about it was so much fun. I really, really like that game a lot. And Zelda A Link Between Worlds is also very good, so I'll be playing more of that this weekend. Sadly, I don't think they will rank very highly on our list, because I don't think you guys have played either of them yet. So
true.
But I think Jeff and I will.
No one else has either, so I'm just gonna...
No, not just you. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, but yeah, so I mean, just in general, right? I think A Link Between Worlds is selling better.
I'm sure it is. It would have to, right?
Not by that much, though. The numbers Nintendo released was it sold about 400,000 copies.
Almost twice as many.
Yeah. But still, like, considering there are 10 million 3DSs out there.
Right.
That's not a great number for one of your...
That's not exactly hitting your install base pretty hard.
I mean, at least Mario, there's like 4 million Wii U's out there.
Right.
Like, I mean, I guess they're about on par with what Zelda's doing, which is a shame, because that game's really good. But both games are really good. People should play them if they have the systems. Well, let's get into those numbers, though. Tony, do you have any of them?
So we have Super Mario 3D, what is it?
World.
Whatever. Yeah, 3D World. 250,000 copies.
That's
good. I don't know. Is it?
For a core Mario
Nintendo?
Game, that's low.
For the, and I've seen a number of journalists say this, the only must-play Wii U game.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but
it's definitely it's a must-play Wii U game for anyone who has a Wii U.
Yes, I would agree with that.
It's kind of sad, actually. I feel bad for Mario.
Yeah, that's depressing. That game is really, really good.
I still haven't gone it. I kind of want to like just be able to play it for like a week, just so I can talk about it. But I can't spend money on it. I might go over to like a friend's house and play it for a bit, but
I don't understand their timing. I really don't.
It's terrible.
To launch right against the PS4 and like it's a system seller type game, but you're launching it right into the middle of the hype for two other systems that are brand new.
Yeah.
You want to give the Wii U a chance to stand on its own, and you let Microsoft and Sony take its legs out from under it.
That game should have come out in October.
Or September. Like,
yeah, well,
you wanted distance.
They should have released Pikmin in June or July, and then Wind Waker like a month after that, and then Mario. Yeah, I don't understand this release frame at all.
Faye's not even here to defend his sweet, sweet Nintendo-ness.
I mean, I'm not even sure that there's any way to defend it. Like, the game is great, and I don't think anybody is disputing that. It's just nobody's buying it. Like, Nintendo made some really, really dumb decisions on when it released this.
I have to ask the question, how is Iwata still employed?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
I don't understand it. These are core decisions. He has no idea where his product stands in the marketplace. What is he doing?
I mean, what do you guys think about Nintendo? Like, obviously they're not the powerhouse they used to be.
Well, I mean, the 3DS is doing well. It's hard to dispute that.
Right.
But they're basically tossing themselves out in the home console market.
But that's for America, though. How are they doing in Japan? Are they still driving pretty well there? Or
well, I mean, like worldwide, they've only sold 4.5 million Wii U's.
Really?
Like worldwide, completely less than 5 million.
That's Wii's. Not great.
No.
That's not
no,
great.
In over a year's worth of release.
And you're looking at
Xbox,
the Xbox
sold
2
million in like 2 weeks or something? I don't know.
Right. I think it was 3 weeks for both. They both broke, both the PS4 and the Xbox One broke that 2 million barrier in 3 weeks.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, a lot of people thought Nintendo was untouchable as far as, like, never leaving the home console market. But, I mean, if two generations kind of fall, say, along the lines of the Wii U, I mean, They're not getting the third party support they've used to be getting, and so is there going to be a market for them like 20, 30 years from now when the kids that didn't grow up with Nintendo's come around? You know? I don't know. It's hard to say.
I'd be worried more about the next 2 years. Like, where do they go from here? What's the next step?
Zelda, Metroid.
I mean, I did see a nice theory. Someone said that they could start selling the Wii U with the pad patched out and going with the pro controller support only, so they could sell the console at less than $200.
I also caught that. I don't see it happening though. Like. Maybe. I don't know.
They've been pretty, they've been pushing that gamepad for a while now. And, yeah, so. You know, it was funny.
But Nintendo has, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say, I saw a tweet out there saying that the Wii U should become the McRib of the gaming industry, where they just sell it for like 3 weeks, they market the hell out of it, and then it just disappears from shelves. I guarantee you, they would sell more copies like that if they sold it like that. Where like there's like 1 month where you could buy the Wii U, and that's it.
Disappears.
It's bad though. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, though?
I can't even remember now. What was I going to say? It's gone.
There you go.
It's gone.
Yep.
It's all that drinking.
No.
Yeah, I haven't played my Wii U in months. It's literally, my Kinect is sitting on top of it right now, and that's pretty much as good as it's... I already have more Xbox One games than I have Wii U games. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have three Wii U games and four Xbox games.
I have considerably more Wii U games than that, but it's not surprising either.
I have Nintendo Land, Super Mario Brothers, not the new one, the older one, new Super Mario Wii U one.
Right, which is a good game.
Zombie U. That's it.
Zombie U is also good.
Yeah, I didn't get into it though. I should have. It seems like a game that's kind of up my alley, but didn't really find time for it, I guess. Maybe I'll come back to it.
It's kind of Dark Souls-y, in a way.
Yeah, kind of. It looked cool.
Yep. Oh, well. We got any other news?
Yeah, one more piece of news before I fall asleep. Apparently, the NSA has been conducting surveillance in a variety of ways. But among those ways, they've been sending people out to play games over Xbox Live and sent agents of the NSA to play World of Warcraft. So somewhere in the government, there's someone being paid to just sit around and play World of Warcraft all day and be on the lookout for any chatter related to terrorism.
That's pretty good. I like it.
I saw a chart that had like genres of games and like the different criminal and terrorist activity that could happen in them. And MMOs evidently were green for all of it.
Right.
It's like a haven for terrorist activity. Although I did find it funny that, like, first-person shooters like Call of Duty could be used moderately successfully as training tools.
Right. Sure they can.
That's what they said.
It's so realistic.
I guess real-life combat is just like Call of Duty.
The secret is out. I mean, our special forces are done now, right?
Money laundering, though, was a big one for MMOs. Not so much for first-person shooters.
Yeah, that would make sense. Also, just using them as, like, a communications tool.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, there are so many ways of, like, the NSA, how are they going to spy on somebody in a private party chat? Which I'd like to imagine the terrorists would, you know, think of.
Yeah. Well, couldn't they just hack into that, like tap it or something?
Somewhere there's like a 25-year-old guy who worked for the NSA. He's like, so I wonder if I can get paid to play World of Warcraft all day long.
Yeah, that guy must be praying for like terrorist activities, like.
And he's like, "Oh yeah, no." He's like, "I don't even need. I just need to like keep submitting reports and the chatter I've heard."
Right. Oh yeah, lots of terrorist activity going on here.
Yeah.
Lots of people using derogatory comments and curse words. Lots of suspicious activities, sir.
This seems so absurd.
That is pretty funny. Like, how do you even, like, get that job? Like, how do you apply for it? You just, like, go in as a game tester and then you get picked up by the fucking NSA? It's weird. I don't know. It's crazy. Oh, he must love his job, though. I mean, seriously. Like, come on now. Pretty awesome.
Speaking of sales figures from past, was there any word from Sony on Tearaway?
Because
you want to talk about... Oh, yep, here it is. I got it. I just found it. 14,000 units.
Ooh.
That is a game that came out against Mario and Zelda, which didn't sell well, and the Xbox One.
Oops.
Yep. Sony. Making great decisions, like always.
And I hear that game's pretty good, and it's made by the little big, like, medium model.
Yeah, it's a beautiful and fun game. It's really good.
I feel like that's like Sony's, like, that is Sony in a nutshell. Like, they have all these great games that just for
what I think
they just, they're undermarketed or they just come out at a terrible time. Like, it's just, I don't know. Microsoft does a really good job as far as, like, kind of, like, getting their exclusives out in, like, a prime time. Like, never out when there's a lot of competition. Like, Gears of War usually came out, like, in August, you know, and Forza came out in a really good time where, like, there wasn't really any car racing games besides GT 6, which is, you know,
yeah, but the two of them aren't really competing against each other because it is last gen, like.
Right.
Which, it's another thing, like, so, like, from what I've heard, and there are no official numbers because GT 6 just came out last week, but, early report is that game's not selling well.
I'm shocked.
But, I mean, you're talking the biggest racing franchise in gaming, like, the biggest simulation, like, it sells better than Forza. Even though I think Forza is a better game, still sells better than it, yet it's evidently selling abysmally, and there is 80 million PS3 owners out there. Like, that game should have been PS4. Like,
yeah,
there's
absolutely
no excuse for it.
It really, like, I was watching her quick look of it, and it's like, oh god, I feel like such a elitist, but it does feel last gen. You look at the backgrounds compared to Forza, and it's just like, it's so ugly. The cars look great, but of course the cars are going to look great.
Yeah.
But it just, it really, like, you really do see the differences, like, the backgrounds don't look great, the draw distance isn't as good, like, there's things, like, the details that really stand out.
And I forgot to talk about this when we talked about what we have been playing, like, cause I have played GT 6 as well. I kind of wish that Turn 10 and Polyphony would get together and take all the great things from both their games and make a game, because there are problems on both sides, like, big problems.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 6, when you hit something with your car, it sounds like you were hitting an empty trash can with a hammer. Like, that is not how a car sounds. Like, it's atrocious. Like, the sound effects in that game are awful. The AI in Gran Turismo is just atrocious. Like, they all drive on the exact same line, and, like, there's no, you don't feel like you're racing anybody. At least in Forza, like, the AI seems to, like, it's very aggressive because it's kind of supposedly based on, like, real life people. I'm constantly racing Fozzie in my Forza career mode. He's always showing up there. Yeah, it's like there are problems on both sides, and both games are so grindy, which isn't really an issue, but it's now they both have these microtransactions in them, and
yeah.
I mean, I'm not ever gonna do it, and I play these games over a long period of time, but
you remember, like, the older days where you had cheat codes and stuff, like, to unlock all the cars or get, like, some money. It's just, you don't have that anymore. And it just, it really does kind of take the fun out of it. And so, I don't know. Hopefully both teams will kind of, I was pretty disappointed with both releases, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not bad games, either one.
No,
but there's definitely issues with both.
Yeah, they could be better, but again, yeah, they are pretty good for what they're worth. But
and I don't know. I think from Sony's, for me looking at Sony, I think they failed because I am playing my PS3 and not my PS4. Like, they should want me on playing their new piece of hardware, but I am playing their old piece of hardware.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a good sign. Like, that system needs things for people to play on it, and there's nothing right now.
Oh, yeah. They are coming out. I'm waiting for, like, an Infamous bundle. That'd be great. I think that's when I'll buy my PS4 is next spring. But yeah, I mean, I do remember, you know, when it was coming up towards the launch date, I was kind of getting a little nervous. I was like, I'm not completely set on Xbox One, and my whole Twitter feed was just pro Sony, but now that I look at it, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of liking my decision. You know, Xbox One stop listening. Xbox, go back to Skype. I'm watching Disney Channel. So
no!
Anyways, about that. What is going
it's
on?
It's always
watched. Well, regardless.
It knows what you really want, Fozzie.
Like, it's great. Okay, we're back.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is Microsoft launched their system with games that more people want to play than are on PS4.
Right. Dead Rising is a pretty good exclusive. Zoo Tycoon's been surprisingly well. Forza is a great game to play. And again, like, you're not seeing those exclusives. Knack, I played some of it. It's pretty cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not a system seller. It's alright. Resogun's fun, I'll give him that. But besides that, you know, there's not a lot besides the usual suspects like Battlefield 4 and Assassin's Creed. So I'm pretty happy with my purchase right now. And again, like, I've never been a guy that's only had one console. I'll get both of them eventually. But I think as far as starting consoles, I think that I'm pretty confident that Xbox One has been, like, overall, I've enjoyed it, and I probably would enjoy it now more than if I had the PS4. But again, it's also because I like you having my cable connected to it. Like, I like that it is kind of like the all-in-one system, and some people they like their consoles just for gaming, and that's cool.
The PS4 is very much that. It is a game console.
You know, and people are really liking it. They're liking their streaming that we don't have yet. You know, that was kind of a shady move on Xbox part a couple days before launch. But again, like, you know, these are things I can live without. In the end, I think I'm still gaining really a good enjoyment from my Xbox One.
I wonder if on some level Microsoft was just kind of like, we're going to back off of this streaming stuff a bit and let's see exactly how it plays out.
Right. Well, with the way YouTube's been cracking down, I mean, you got to figure Twitch is on somebody's list.
Right.
Right.
But even like with just all the controversy with the way the streaming kind of went handled, like, yeah, the streaming's great and people really seem to be into it, but what made headlines was the bad stuff from the streaming. Like a dude stripping his wife.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wife naked. Like, I mean, that made major news. Like, people just like getting naked on their Twitch streams, and doing things that might be illegal.
Hey, here's live sex cams going on here.
Right.
You know? It's like shit. people are making good money.
It's like, and it's a shame because there was some really cool stuff, like that one husband and wife duo, like they started up that what was it called, the Spartan Show or whatever, which is like the live call-in show they were doing through Playroom, which is really cool. But then immediately after that, like, you know, the internet got a hold of it and turned it into something nasty, and then turned Playroom into something worse.
Right.
The internet can't have nice things.
And on some level, you have to be like, maybe Microsoft made the right decision to back off of this and let Sony take the brunt of this, and then, you know, kind of put stuff in place and make sure that this doesn't happen on their system when they do bring it in 2014.
Right.
Like, yeah, it sucks that it's not here for us, but, you know, maybe on some level, those that want to do it on the Xbox lucked out because they're not in the bad light right now.
I've never really looked at it like that, but I think that it's feasible, you know, totally. Let Sony go into the uncharted waters first, and then you can
right.
kind of perfect it. So, and again, yeah, it was a cool feature, and I'm kind of disappointed it's not there, but again, if I can wait a few months and it's like going to be fucking awesome. And you can even use the Twitch, I think you can use the Twitch app, like, you can watch, you know, live streaming if you like and all that, but again, I can hold off on the streaming.
Oh, can I say once again how much I like the stupid entertainment achievements?
Oh, I saw those. Netflix, I don't think has them, but yeah.
Yeah, Netflix has them.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, it's weird, the ones they have. It's like, watch 3 episodes in a row, watch 5 episodes in a row, watch 10 episodes in a row, and then there's a bunch for, like, rating movies. I haven't been able to get the time ones. Like, it's like, use Netflix 7 days straight. I haven't been able to get that to pop, despite using Netflix every day. So I don't know if some of them are bugs, but there's achievements for Amazon Instant, achievements for, like, FX and ESPN,
oh, yeah.
and there's ones for right. Twitch, like, and it's so dumb, but it's like, I love to get, like, stuff to pop and see,
yes.
see, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna watch fucking 5 movies from 2013, damn right I am, cause I'm gonna get that achievement. It's so stupid, but it just feeds into that, like, I want them to give me something, and they're dangling this stupid carrot in front of me, and I'm chasing after it. At 100% speed.
Well, yeah. Again, I'm not a huge, like, Chivo guy, but hey, you know, if you like it, I mean, that's
right.
Great.
Right.
You
I mean,
know,
they have, like, for you, it's like, it doesn't matter, but then they've hit on it for somebody like me that, like, likes that type of stuff. So,
right. Like, and Netflix, honestly, is probably a lot of people's most played thing on their Xbox mm-hmm. One, so why not have achievements for them, you know?
Works really good on it, too.
Ooh, yeah. If we're talking about Netflix, I'm really liking that new layout, too. It's sharp. Like, you know, everything's big, bold, and it just looks good, clean, and it looks a lot better than the previous Netflix layout, I think.
That is the one part where I wish the Kinect voice stuff worked better because on Amazon Instant, when you do the voice stuff, you can just kind of name the title.
Yeah.
But on the Netflix stuff, it's like you have to select, and then each box has a number on it, so you have to be like,
right.
Select 7 instead of like select the Hunger Games. And It doesn't feel natural in Netflix, where it feels natural in, like, some of the other apps, but maybe eventually that'll get fixed.
Yeah, it's probably good, though. I tried Bing a few days ago, and
yeah,
it was pretty spot on with what I was saying. Again, the voice control is still I'm kind of iffy about. I've said, like, Xbox on, like, 5 times before, and it wouldn't, like, turn on, and really frustrating. Because now I'm becoming so lazy that, like, I get home from work and I have a program so it turns my TV on. like Xbox on, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, when it doesn't work, it's really disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. And I was trying to impress my girlfriend. I'm like, look, Kim, like, look at this cool stuff I can do. And it would work at first, but then it wasn't working, and then it was like,
that's exactly how the first time I showed it to my wife went. Like, when the Xbox One came out, like, I hooked it all up, and I went and I picked up my daughter and my oldest daughter and my son, and then I showed them, like, all the stuff. And then my wife came home with the baby.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't work because the baby was, like, yammering away. And I'm like, no, but I swear it works. It's really cool.
It's cool, you know? You think about where this came from. Like, we were playing with fucking a controller with two buttons on it, and that's it, you know? And now, mm-hmm. you have, like, all this sophisticated goddamn hardware and stuff. And I don't know. It's really neat to see.
Fozzie's making me feel old again. I started out playing on a system that only had one button.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you started from way back.
I started on the Atari 2600, so.
Chris's first gaming console was chalk and a little chalk.
Exactly.
I will say this though. I mean, I know we've kind of been very pro Xbox. Actually, that's, you know, we've been accused of that over all the time, kind of.
I don't know why.
I don't either. Because we play everything, which is ridiculous.
We do. I play PC. I play everything.
But, I play PC so much more than I play Xbox. Just throw it out there.
But I'm very happy to hear that both consoles are selling really well, because it just means that we're going to get great stuff on both systems, so.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is good.
Yeah. That's where, like, I don't get this whole, like, I hope Sony destroys Microsoft, or, like, I hope Microsoft destroys Sony. Like, I want them both to do good, so I get good experiences on both, and that's why I have both, is because I know there are going to be individual experiences on each that I'm going to want to play. And, you know, you want to be able to get those experiences. If Sony gets blown out by Microsoft or the other way around, we're not going to get that cool stuff. Or at least not as much of it.
Totally. And, like, you look at 2014 is stacked. There's, oh, God, I can't wait. So many games that were delayed till 2014 that were supposed to come out now. And
all right, I'm gonna ask this of you guys, because there's some games that, like, I was interested in for this year that got pushed back, like South Park and Fable Anniversary. But for me personally, I feel like a little, like, I don't really want to go back.
Right.
Like right now, I'm playing GT6 and Assassin's Creed 3, but it's like, I want to play stuff on my new piece of hardware. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you're going to go back and play, like, those games that are only coming to 360 and PS3 at this point, or?
Probably not.
Is South Park not coming out the next gen?
No.
Yeah, it's as far as I know. I mean, I'll probably play that game on PC anyway, but.
Again, it's a very.
Maybe that's how I get around that.
I think this gen, as far as when you look at it compared to the other ones, you don't have that leap in graphics per se, like when you saw from PS2 to PS3. So, I mean, I might go back to it, but again, like, at this point, my Xbox 360, it's hooked up in, like, my retro room. I still have a nice TV and stuff there, but it's not like the surround sound, the experience that I have out here in my
right.
room. Right. So, again, obviously, any game, I'd feel kind of dirty paying $60 for a game that I'm playing in my retro room. You know? Like, that's my retro room. It's for my retro games, and Xbox 360 is now retro to me because it has been taken over by the one. So, yeah, like, for me to, like, open up a new sealed game and, like, pop it in there and play games over there, it's just... it's gonna be tough. You're right.
All right. One more question before we wrap us up. I watched some of the VGXs last.
Oh God, why did you do that to yourself?
I don't know. Well, one, I went to Spike. Like, I mean, heard VG, you know, the VGAs, VGXs, whatever they were called, were, you know, was going to happen on Saturday. So I went to Spike expecting them to be on.
Yeah.
They weren't there.
Because Skype discovered that they are horrible.
Yeah.
They should not be shown to anyone.
So I ended up streaming them on my Xbox 360 because I couldn't find it on the One.
And they were still horrible.
Yeah, they were. It's not an awards show anymore. But there were some announcements that came out of there. Two in particular. Well, No Man's Sky looks pretty cool, but I mean, I think Tony kind of said, like, the fact that that's a 4-man team leaves me really skeptical of the scope of that.
Don't ever give up.
No, it'll be fine, but it's not going to be this massive production that everybody is expecting.
It'll be, at best,
what's that game we love, Fozzie? Damn it. Roguelike game.
The what like game?
Where you have the spaceship. The roguelike.
FTL.
FTL.
At best, it will be one of those games. Which is fine. You notice that they've been really cagey. They haven't shown any gameplay. They haven't even discussed what the gameplay is. It's just... It's not something you should get, like... all hung up. It'll be fine, but it's not going to be a world-beating game.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think expectations for that game definitely need to be reined in a bit. Like, I checked the Polygon article on it, and there were people in there going, dude, this game looks so much better than Destiny. I'm like, except they're completely different experiences. Like,
obviously... has this enormous budget.
Exactly. Like, that's the big thing. Is like, you're talking about a studio, a Bungie, who has massive amounts of money behind them, and, you know, can polish everything so well, and then you're talking about this 4-man team that is procedurally generating stuff. Like,
not to mention, it's like the Joe Danger team. Like, no offense, but where are they even coming from? Like, it's like you're going from Joe Danger to this. It's ambitious, and that is a scary thing because it is very ambitious, which usually means lots of delays, lots of bugs. Like, so I think the thing that really did strike me out was that seamless transition from Earth, or from that Earth-like planet to the space, like to the sky. For me, I've always wanted a game like that. So you're right. It might not be this amazing, like, game that we probably, like, made it out to be for the first, you know, for its 15 minutes of fame. But hopefully it is successful enough where maybe they'll make a sequel. And maybe the sequel will have a lot more people behind it, and then maybe it can become that game, at least with the potential. I do see potential in it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think there's potential. I think expectations on that definitely need to be kind of toned down a bit. But I'm hoping it's really cool. I'm hoping it turns out cool. What I actually want to talk about, though, was Telltale. They announced two new episodic series. One based on HBO's Game of Thrones television series, so not the Song of Fire and Ice books, like specifically the
universe.
Specifically the HBO television show timeline. Because there are definitely some changes that have been made between the books and the show. Tales from the Borderlands, which is a Borderlands adventure game.
No.
Yeah, like, I mean, I definitely think Game of Thrones has potential.
Yeah.
I really like, what? The Borderlands one had me scratching my head a bit. Not sure what you guys thought of
that. That universe, known so well for its storytelling and rich background story.
Right. Like at least Game of Thrones has that. Like,
right.
There is something that, like, is, you know, it's definitely story-based, and Borderlands is, it's Diablo with guns.
Right. That rich Borderlands universe really needs some... I don't understand.
Yeah. Weird,
but,
right?
But, I mean, Telltale has their moment in the sun right now. I mean, they got... The Walking Dead got as many eyes on them as they could have gotten, and, you know, it's time to live it up and milk it before it's gone.
Again,
and they have to be a massive studio, though.
I know.
They have to be so big.
It's crazy. I'm really nervous for them. I'm really worried. Again, ambitious comes to mind, and you have three projects. You have Wolf Among Us 2.
Four projects.
Yeah, so...
Because Walking Dead Season 2 launches next week.
Right. So you have those four going on. I'm not saying that I told everyone that Epic Sonic Gaming could be the future, but I did tell everyone that. Let's just say that, so thank you, Telltale.
Is anyone other than Telltale actually doing episodic gaming?
No, but they will bring it. Sonic Gaming is going to happen, Tony. Just deal with it, okay? But yeah, again, like, given their track record and how many delays they've had in between episodes, I'm really, like, hopefully they kind of, like, understand, like, now they kind of have the system going now, but, yeah, it's worrisome.
Telltale has also released some horrible games, by the way. Like,
we tend to focus on
The Walking Dead, but shortly before The Walking Dead was that Jurassic Park game that no one liked.
Yeah, I heard that
wasn't very good. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever played, but it wasn't very good. They have, outside of that though, they've done decent work. They've never made like the worst things ever.
Right.
I'm not excited for the Borderlands one though.
It seems really weird, right?
Yeah, it's not. I don't understand. Is it going to be adventure? Like, is there going to be guns? Is it going to be like, storytelling like Walking Dead where there's consequences? Like, Game of Thrones has consequences all the time. It makes perfect sense for a game like that. But Borderlands doesn't have consequences. What, are you going like, is Claptrap going to die one episode? Like, I don't understand.
Like, I'm my guess is they're probably gonna try and make that more humorous than anything else, but I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, from having played The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us, that like expectations for and knowing what Game of Thrones is, that expectations for an adventure game from them are definitely skewed one way now. But I just don't see that working. That's an action series.
Yeah.
And Telltale doesn't make action games.
Right.
And anytime they try and do anything actiony, it kind of sucks. Like, the worst parts of The Walking Dead are the action parts. Like, anytime you have to use a gun in The Walking Dead is atrocious.
It's really bad. It's not great. It's like a shooting gallery and... at best, and it's not fun.
So.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, but yeah, season 2 Walking Dead is that still coming out pretty shortly, right?
Next week.
Yeah, they gave dates, right?
Yeah, the 17th. So next Tuesday.
Very nice.
Yeah, and hopefully that turns out good. And hopefully they've cleaned it up a bit like they did with the Wolf Among Us, so mind you, now going on 2 months since that came out.
All right, where's that next episode?
Yeah,
episodic gameplay, woohoo!
Well, that is the problem with their episodic gaming. It's not my
it's your dream, fault.
My
Cosby.
Vision. My vision is to
I'm
have
blaming you.
Gaming every week. Like, could you imagine like Walking Dead, where like, you know, every Tuesday at like 8 p.m. it releases. That'd be great.
That would be so great. And I mean, I believe that Telltale has said that January will be the next episode of The Wolf Among Us. And I'm hoping from there it becomes like January Wolf Among Us, February Walking Dead. You know, each month you're going to get a new episode from one of those. But this whole episodic thing, Brian, our friend on Twitter, the two of us were kind of talking about this, is that one of the big critical darlings earlier this year was the adventure game Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
I
heard that.
So that's supposed to be a 5-episode series. The first one came out in February or March. The second one came out in July. And we're still waiting for the third one. And there's no update. And in fact, a lot of the people that were working on the game have moved on to different projects. So I kind of feel like they stole my money.
Do they have season passes where you got all 5?
Yeah, that's how they were selling it. Like, shit. I mean, you could also buy it episode by episode, but like with something like that, you're going to want to play all 5. So, you know, you kind of give them your $20 up front, and that's kind of the risk you take with these episodic things is like, what happens if they decide to make anymore?
Again, I've never said that I think episodic gaming should be for every game.
Right.
But there is a lot of advantages if it's done right by a big company. For example, like you look at Breaking Bad, like towards the end of Breaking Bad, how many people marathon all 5 seasons just to catch up to everyone else?
Right.
Like, a lot of people did that. And that's the thing, like for example, like, and bear with me, Mass Effect 3, I thought would have been a pretty good episodic game where every planet would be like a new episode. And then first off, the ending would not have been like such a downfall as far as with people, because you wouldn't have to hear people bitching about it, you know, for the whole time you were playing it. You know, you could actually enjoy it. And then get to the disappointment that was that ending. But, I don't know. Again, that's for a completely different conversation, but I have very strong feelings that episodic gaming with the right game and the right company that can deliver, you know, it can be good.
Right. Well, I don't think we'll be talking about any episodic games next week.
No.
I don't think any are going to be on any of our lists, so... next week, Game of the Year stuff starts. Next week's episode will actually be our, category awards. We've come up with 15, some of them fun, some of them, the ones that Jeff made, not so fun.
Lame, yeah. Some would say.
His are slightly boring. The week of Christmas, we will have our top 10 and the overall show top 10. We will come up with something there. We might have to kill each other, but we'll do it.
Oh, God. I'll do this shit again.
Yeah. I really only see, like, I really only see, like, 2 or 3 games in legitimate competition for our Game of the Year, so...
I agree.
Obviously, Europa Universalis is 4.
Yeah, obviously.
Asiads, American Civil War 2.
Yep, that too.
Games like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the both of those.
Oh, right. God.
And then Rome Total War 2. Yeah.
And exactly. Rise. Don't forget Rise, Son of Rome.
Yep.
That's not a strategy game.
There's very
there's
light
strategy. To it.
Very, very
in
light.
Rome.
It's in Rome. It's obviously strategic. You fight an elephant.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, you don't actually fight an elephant, but you shoot it with arrows, and there's a stampede. It's pretty cool.
Strategy.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all next week. You should join us for that. It should be fun. I'm sure that we'll have some weird picks, like Don's yearly airplane game. Which none of us have any nominations for.
Right.
So, So that's next week. Say goodbye, Fozzie.
Adios, kiddos.
That was not goodbye.
Goodbye.